Now those words take on new meaning as we understand that the wrong seems off so strong, but God is the ruler yet. That's from our lesson this morning. Really, in Sunday school, God has not abdicated His throne at all, and He is still in control. Praise the Lord for that tonight, and I'm excited. Thank you for that fine singing, Noel and family. You have your Bibles there in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. You know, God has given us many examples in the Bible for us to follow. Aren't you thankful tonight for some visual examples of what He teaches us? I'm thankful tonight that we can see things that He has taught us, exampled in the lives of people, not only in Scripture, but also in around us today as well. And I'm thankful tonight that all of these things, from faithfulness to love, to generosity, to honesty, to telling, anything in our lives, whatever it might be, everything God speaks of, there's an example for us. God is so kind to do that. I don't know about you, but I like learning by example. I can learn some things by theory and by lecture, and I can learn some things by practice and experience, but I'd much rather see someone else doing it, wouldn't you? To me, that's a good way to do. Now, some people are wired differently. I understand that. But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, nothing can rival having God's Word tell us something and then Him giving us an example of that. And tonight, our wonderful example that we see in the book of Romans is this man by the name of Paul. We see him in Scripture before he trusted the Lord. We knew what his testimony was, don't we? He was a zealous, religious person. He hated Christians. Oh, he was very religious. He knew all of the law of Moses. He did everything right according to the testimony of the Pharisees. And he was a learned scholar. But yet, we find him lost and without Christ. And then we find him finding the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 9, where he was cast down on that road on the way to Damascus, he found the Lord Jesus Christ and he put his trust in him. And we see him not only at his conversion, but then we see afterwards his exponential growth as a Christian throughout the book of Acts. The book of Acts shifts from talking about the early disciples, Peter and James and John and all those, to the last part of the book of Acts, dealing with almost exclusively the Apostle Paul and his ministry. And so this growth in the Apostle Paul after his salvation is something that God wanted for us to not only see, but to understand some truth from. It was recorded in Scripture for a reason. And the Apostle Paul becomes a wonderful example in his growth as a Christian. And we understand even today, we see his influence on the world around us. It was the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul that probably took the Word of God to most of our ancestors over in Europe and in the Far East and in all those places. It was probably the Apostle Paul who had given that original seed of the gospel to those people. And it's that growth as a Christian tonight that we see in the Apostle Paul. And so as I look at him tonight, and as I understand his influence, and it's not a mankind or a man-built influence or a reputation, it's something that God did, that I'm very interested in the example that he's setting. And specifically, I'm very interested in the spirit by which he serves the Lord. Now, I know all the activity of serving the Lord. And if it was just a matter of following Paul's activity, well, I could go out and I could wreck a boat and float in the water for 3 days. How many of you think that would be relatively easy in the scope of all the things that we need to do as a Christian in order to be a great person? If that was all that was necessary for me to go out and be shipwrecked like the Apostle Paul in order to be great, that would be fairly easy, right? We'd have the first church of the shipwreck or something, you know, and we'd go all out and get on Lake Erie and we'd all shipwreck and then we'd be great Christians like the Apostle Paul. Or maybe you have to be a good Christian by getting bit on the hand by a serpent. Now, I have a little trouble with that one. But if I had to do it and I could trust the Lord in that, that might be good. Was that the secret of the Apostle Paul's godliness? No, we understand that those things are, instead of being the secrets to his godliness and to his growth as a Christian, we understand that those were merely products of the things that he was doing. That which was inside of him, his spirit, really made the difference. And tonight I want you to understand that as a Christian that is growing, it is our spirit that God is interested in. And I'm interested tonight then in the spirit, in the motives, that which is at the very core. We might look at it as the power plant of the Christian. What is it that makes him tick? What does it make him do what he's doing? Now tonight you may have a power plant that's a little different. You may have a power plant that is based in pride. I want people to notice me. Or I maybe it's pride in the fact that I don't want people to notice me. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be well known. Or I don't want to be some sort of a spectacle. Maybe your power plant tonight is a matter of self exaltation in some way. But I'm telling you, tonight we see a spirit in the Apostle Paul as he grew in the Lord that was developed that I think tonight is very critical for every one of us. Tonight I want to just show you, if I can, then what this growing as a Christian looks like in our spirit. You know, growing is very important as a Christian. The Bible talks about it over and over again. Listen to some of these verses. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." It is God's will for us all to grow into him. And it doesn't matter where we are, but growing is an important part of the Christian walk. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And then in chapter 3 of 2 Peter and verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so tonight we find that it is absolutely essential for a Christian who is walking with the Lord and desiring to be like the Savior, to be growing in that walk with the Lord, growing in grace, growing up into that image of what He would have us to be. And so with growing comes a change in our vision. It comes a change in our perspective and our maturity. You know, I remember as a young person growing up here, I remember the only thing that I really could think of before my driving days was getting my driver's license. How many can resonate with that? You remember those days, all right? And I don't know what it was, but it was just something about it. Now, I didn't like worship or anything, but I just remember that was my next life goal. It was just the next, I just couldn't wait to get there. And I mean, that was all there was, just driving. And as the closer I get, the more I would be interested in this. I'd be watching my dad. What did he do with this thing? You know, and oh, I see he's going a little faster. That must be okay. You know, and I see that he's, you know, doing this or that, you know, and I watched him and I learned what it was to be driving. I was excited about that. And, you know, it was something that I was really thrilled about. And I just can't imagine. I was like, man, when I get my driver's license, I'm just going to drive everywhere. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to drive around. You know, I'm going to do everything. Just drive. Well, here I am sitting some years later, after I got my driver's license, and driving now, believe it or not, kids, means really zero to me, right? I mean, you know, it's something we just do, you know, you have to, so you drive, you know, you've got to go around, you've got to get places, so you just jump in the car and drive, you don't even worry about it, you don't even think about it, until you see the lights in the rearview mirror or something, right? And then you worry about it a little bit. What I'm saying is, a change in perspective by growing up a little bit, right? You know what you're going to learn, kids, that are looking at getting your driver's license? It really isn't all that great. I mean, you know, it's fun, there's a lot of responsibility, and this is great, but I'm telling you what, in the scope of life, it doesn't mean that much. All right? I don't want to burst your bubbles. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just saying that it doesn't mean that. What's the difference, then, in our perspective and my vision in that? I'll tell you what it is. We grew up. You mature a little bit. And I'm telling you today that as a Christian, when we are growing, then there are signs of those maturity. There is signs of that maturing process and growing process that we see in a person's life. And the spirit of that which God would have for us to be as a Christian, we find right here in these verses. The maturing process will have an influence. It will have characteristics. It will have obvious outward signs, and we can see them. And Paul was testifying here of what that spirit looked like in his life. And tonight I want to just look at that, if you would. Notice, if you would, the spirit of the Apostle Paul as he expresses his attitude in God's service. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, that he felt the burden of responsibility. The Apostle Paul felt that there was a responsibility upon him as a growing Christian. And tonight, let me say, just before I look at the scriptures, as a growing Christian, a sign of that maturity will come when we represent and we understand that there is a burden of responsibility on each one of us. Now, I'll tell you tonight that young children don't realize the burden of responsibility that they have on them as a human being. All right? If I told them, and I told all of our young people, you know, and tried to explain to them what it was like to work a full-time job and pay the bills and have responsibility for your family and, you know, serving the Lord, it would mean nothing to them. They're too young to understand that. Why? Because they're still growing in that maturity. But it's an obvious thing that when a person grows to a place in their life where they begin to understand the burden of responsibility that's on them, that's a good sign, isn't it? It's a good sign when someone says, oh, I have a responsibility to put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. I have a responsibility to work in a way that's productive. I have a responsibility to be a good citizen. Those are all natural things for a growing physical person. And in the same way, we have the same characteristic as a Christian. There is a growing awareness of our responsibility, the burden of our responsibility. And I want you to see tonight what Paul's burden was. Notice verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What was Paul's burden here? The burden that Paul was bearing was a burden of debt that he carried. Oh, I don't think Apostle Paul was walking around with a lot of credit cards. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't think he was, in debt with his house or with some other kind of entertainment. The point was that he felt a burden of debt and responsibility for those who were around him in this area of their walk with God and specifically the truth of the gospel of God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying and being buried and raised again the third day and now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so Paul understood that this burden that he bore was a debt that he had to repay to those who had not yet heard the good news of the gospel. And tonight I want you to understand that as a growing Christian, we can govern our growth and our maturity based on the awareness of our responsibility of this same debt that God has placed upon us. And it's a default because of who we are. Now, you say, Pastor Royalty, I do not want that burden of debt. I don't want to have that responsibility. I don't want to do that. And it is a decision that we make to shirk that responsibility. I can deny the fact that I'm a debtor tonight. If I owed money to someone, it would be easy for me just to say, I don't owe money to anybody. Now, does that make it true? No. The truth of the matter is, I owe the money if I owe the money. Whether I reckon it to be true or not makes no difference whatsoever. The point I'm saying is that it's really a decision we have, not whether we're a debtor or not, but whether we're going to recognize our burden of responsibility of that debt and not shirk that responsibility. And so as a growing Christian tonight, I encourage you to recognize your growing responsibility of this burden that God has given to us, and that's the burden of the souls of men that the Apostle Paul recognized. Tonight we ask ourselves, what was that burden? Well, now I want you to see that it was what he received that made him that debtor. You see, the Bible says, to whom much is given, the same of the same shall much be required. Do you understand that tonight? To whom much is given, the same shall much be required. And we understand tonight because we have been given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I need to remind you tonight that it is the treasure, the precious treasure that God says that's hid in this earthen vessel? And so if we have this burden then, this wonderful thing that's given to us called salvation and the truth, then of necessity, because of what I've been given, then I have a responsibility to make sure that I repay the debt by nature of what I've been given. Paul was a debtor because of what he had been given. If he had gone on being a Pharisee and rejected the word of God that day on Damascus, he would not have been a debtor because he would not have received. Now, he would have been a debtor in another way according to his sin. But tonight we understand that his debt was not to sin and to pay for his sin debt, but his debt was to an almighty God who had given him something special. And tonight we have that same debt that God's placed upon us. Why? Because we've received that precious gift of God's word. You can reckon it to be true or not, but it doesn't change the fact that we're all debtors in this matter of our because of what we've gained, because of what we've learned. But number two, It's not just what he received that made him a debtor, but it's what was, what he was that made him a debtor. I couldn't read my notes, I'm sorry. It was not just what he received, but who he was. Who was he in the Lord? The Apostle Paul was a called servant of the Lord. And it was because of that calling that God had placed upon him now to preach the Word of God that he was in debt to those around him. And because of this, we find that he says in verse number 14, what was the scope of this? We understand what his burden was, but who did he feel this towards? The Bible says in verse 14, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I think all of us could probably fit in one of those four categories, don't you think? I won't ask you which one you fit into. I don't think anybody's going to raise their hand and say, I'm a barbarian. I'm unwise, Pastor. Now, we might be, but it's hard for us to admit that. What I'm saying tonight is that we could probably find ourselves in one of those places, all of the world, I believe. Now, he's referring here to the Greeks. The Greeks used to have this understanding amongst their culture that they kind of had the corner on wisdom. If you were a Greek, you were wise. If you weren't, well, you were a barbarian. That's nice, isn't it? I mean, that's not exclusive at all, is it? I mean, I tell you for sure, they wouldn't have got along very well in this America that we live in, right? That's preaching inclusiveness and all sorts of things. But they used to think, well, listen, we've got the corner on wisdom and we've got it all. Paul says, all right, I'll be debtor to you Greeks that think you have the corner on wisdom, but I'll also be debtor to those who don't have that same wisdom and don't feel like they've had that. I can be the person who can preach to those who are supposedly wise. And by the way, Greeks did offer a lot of wisdom and they had a lot of culture that was given to the world. I won't deny that. And Paul says, I'll be debtor to you, but he says, I'll also be debtor to those who don't have that same understanding, who don't have that same standing and background and testimony. I can preach to them as well. Okay, Paul says to the wise, I'll preach to the wise. I'm a debtor to those that are wise. But then he says also, I'm a debtor to the unwise, those that are foolish. Paul says there's nobody that I would not be a debtor to tonight. Let me ask you a question. Is that a sign of your growing spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel that debt to everyone? Oh, I know, you know, it's my neighbor or whatever it might be. And tonight it may be anything that you put in that place. But do you feel a debt maybe to a certain segment of population, but not to others? I know those rich people. They never hear. They'll never listen. And that may be true, but we still owe a debt because our debt is to a Heavenly Father. And it's a debt because we're called. And it's a debt because we have every person in this world that we owe it to because of the fact that we are human and we know God's answer. We know God's cure for our sin problem. And so he felt this burden of debt to everyone. This burden of responsibility, I'll tell you this, drove him to return and to preach and to testify in such a way faithfully. Even the Bible says to Rome in verse 15, I am ready to go even to Rome in order to testify. Now, let me just tell you about Rome. Rome was a very public place. Did you know that? People went to Rome for all kinds of things, very cosmopolitan. And Paul says, I'm ready to come and preach the gospel even at Rome. And by the way, Rome was not just a public place, but Rome was a particularly dangerous place for Christians. It was someplace that you weren't going to go if you had any kind of bashfulness or if you felt any kind of self-will. Listen, the last place you'd go was Rome as a Christian. I'll tell you, they were burning people on the stake in Rome. And they were doing all kinds of other things, like the Colosseum and all kinds of terrible things to Christians in Rome. And Paul says, I understand my responsibility. And yes, it's a public place. And yes, it's a perilous place. But I understand my debt drives me to come to that place where I can preach. And by the way, Paul's testimony and Paul's ministry was characterized by his awareness of this debt. You'll never find Paul going somewhere but what he doesn't preach or testify or witness or comfort or exhort someone in the Word of God. What a testimony. That's a sign of a spirit of a growing Christian because they understand the burden of responsibility by what they've received and by who they are. Tonight we find then Paul discharging that debt everywhere he went. Number two tonight. Not only did he feel the burden of responsibility, but he had the blessing of readiness. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, so as much as in me is, I am ready. Don't you love that? It's almost as if Paul is coming to the conclusion in his own mind. All right, I'm a debtor. All right, because I'm a debtor, that means I may have to go and preach the gospel to places where I may not be so popular. I may not be so well received. Oh, there'll be times when I'm well received, but there'll be times when I'm not well received. Paul says, you know what? I'm ready. He had the blessing of readiness. I'll tell you today, tonight, dear folks in Christ, that it is a blessing and it is a sign of our spiritual maturity, our spiritual growing in Christ. It's a sign of our spirit when we're ready to be able to be a witness in any place. You know what that is? It's not necessarily a preparation so much. I actually changed my outline a little bit before I did some studying. I had in there the blessing of preparation, but it really isn't preparation as much as it is a making up our mind, a decision making, something that we do as a volitional will. I'm changing my mind. Before I was hesitant, now I'm ready. It's the same idea of someone standing on the precipice. I have no desire at all to strap a bungee cord to my feet and to jump off of a high bridge of some sort. All right. Does anybody resonate with me on that? All right. Can I get an amen? All right. Now, I will strap on a parachute and jump out of an airplane. I'll do that. But I can't, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I say I will. I haven't done it yet, so it makes a big difference. But it's that same feeling, all right? Put yourself up there on the top of the Eiffel Tower or something. I don't even think they do that on the Eiffel Tower. But put yourself on the top of a high pinnacle and say to yourself, I'm ready to jump. Now, you might think to yourself, I'm not ready. I don't know. What's going to happen? Check this again. Make sure my straps are tight. All right? Did we check that cord? You know, all that kind of stuff. And then we get to the place where it's just, there's just no more denying. Okay, I'm ready. What's the difference? Did we make a lot of preparation? Well, I mean, there was some preparation involved, but it's more of a will change, a desire change, isn't it? It's more of just a submission to what's going to happen. I'm going to jump off of this high cliff. And I'm ready. And so we jump. And Paul is coming to that same conclusion in his mind. All right, I'm a debtor. And that debtor, I could stand around and say, oh, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. What am I going to do? I'm a debtor. Okay, well, I don't know. Or I might sleep on it. Or I might ignore it. But Paul says, no, I'm a debtor. And now I'm ready to preach the Word of God. What I'm saying tonight, it's the blessing of readiness. Those who have a blessing of readiness have a passion in their heart in this calling, and it led Paul to do what he was going to do. And that same passion in our heart will not be something of coercion. If I'm standing on that edge, I can say, I don't know if I'm ready, I don't know if I'm ready. And somebody who loves me a whole lot, you know, like the people on the edge of the swimming pool when you were little, you know, I don't want to jump in, I don't want to jump in, and your best friend comes and just gives you that great big shove, and there you go, you know. I wasn't ready. Well, the point is that if it was a coercion to discharge our debt as a Christian, then I would somehow thrust into the service of that discharging of my debt, if I am thrust into the preaching of God's Word, then I'm not ready. That's not something that I've been prepared to do. It's not a willing sacrifice. There's not a zeal in my heart to do that. It's more of a coercion or some sort of a persuasion. God wants us to understand that this kind of readiness is a passion within our own heart. The word tonight that we use, the word ready, is a very interesting word. It has the idea of a knowledge and an awareness of zeal before the action. And I know that's kind of complicated on a Sunday night. But let me just say something to you. There has to be this zeal within our heart that comes before the action of serving the Lord. Now, I'm thankful for the ones that are serving the Lord tonight, but if you're doing it out of coercion or someone came up and shoved you from behind and said, get in the work and do something, listen tonight, that is the wrong motivation. We need to be serving because we are a debtor. And it's not a blessing. There's a blessing of readiness. There's a blessing of doing what God wants us to do. And it's a sign of a growing Christian. It's the spirit of a growing Christian who has the blessing of readiness. He would not be coerced. It's not something that someone had to twist his arm. The burden of responsibility transcended the petty considerations of the world. Thinking about what myself might hurt or be sacrificing, and instead understanding the debt that needs to be paid. You know, the illustration that I think of is sometimes we get in this place where we think of excuses. I'm too old. I've done that already. Let somebody else take care of that. you know, I'm not qualified. Let me tell you something tonight. The spirit of a growing Christian is one who says, I am ready. Count me in. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm ready. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm ready. I don't understand what God always has in His plan, but I'm ready tonight. That's the spirit of a growing Christian. And Paul's spirit was, listen, I'm a debtor. And I'm a debtor to everybody. Therefore, I'm ready. Lord, send me anywhere. Let me have your permission, God. Just point the direction and I'll be going. Name the assignment and I'll be taking it. And I tell you tonight, that's the spirit of the Apostle Paul. It wasn't something about how much support he had. Well, I don't know. My support level fell off a little bit this month. I don't know if I can take this missionary trip. Now, I know there's financial obligations, and the Apostle Paul dealt with those in some ways. But tonight, let me say, Paul was not governed by the finances of this world. He was governed by the Holy Spirit of God. And when God directed, Paul followed. Why? Because he said, I'm ready. I'm ready. And so that's the blessing of readiness. I leave you tonight with this last thought. I said, first of all, he had the burden of responsibility. Number two, he had the blessing of readiness. But number three, he wore the badge of confidence. Oh, I love it tonight because I've been preaching on Sunday mornings on how to be confident in our Christian walk. And here Paul is saying, I am confident. Now, Paul wasn't saying this in his own flesh. Because of his own will and because of his own confidence, he was confident in the Lord. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But notice in verse 16, for I am not ashamed. That word for means that it's the foundation on which the other two things that we just talked about are laid. He's a debtor. He is ready. Why? Because he's not ashamed of the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. And so tonight, I want you to understand that as Paul wore this badge of confidence, there's a great deal in the gospel tonight that a human being might be ashamed of. Number one, I believe we can be ashamed of the people to whom it associates us with. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you tonight that those who are proclaiming the gospel of Christ and identifying with the gospel of Christ, don't take this personally, but they're not the cream of the crop. They're not the ones who the world will look at and say, I want to be like them. No, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, very clearly in verse number 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God, it pleases Him to use things in the world tonight that do not bring glory to man, but instead bring glory to God. And it might be a stumbling block for some people. They might say, I'm ashamed to be a preacher of the gospel tonight because of those who associates me with. And I'll tell you tonight that it's if we look around at our own world and we look around in our own flesh, it's going to be something where we say to one another, I don't know if I can associate with them. I'm a little bit embarrassed of that. They're not the mighty that I want to have. They're not the most intellectual. They're not the most profound. They're not the most beautiful. They're not the most wise or whatever it might be. But I tell you tonight that there's nothing to be ashamed of in the gospel of Christ because He tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, He had made all things beautiful in His time. Praise God tonight. We can't see the beauty that God sees in all of us. I don't know what God sees in me tonight. I don't know what God sees in you. But you know what? One day His beauty is going to be perfected and it'll all be made known. Tonight, we can find and be ashamed of those with whom it associates us, but the Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which means I'm not ashamed of those who associates me with. Because they are the ones that follow the Lord as well. But it might not only just be the people whom they associate with that we could be ashamed of, but it might be the method by which it's spread. You know, we could be ashamed of the method by which we spread the gospel. Wouldn't it be easy tonight if God just said, I want you to go and buy up all the advertising you can on television, radio, billboards, And that's the only way that I want you to spread the gospel. That's definitely a means, isn't it? First of all, the Apostle Paul had been in a little bit of trouble because they didn't have TV and radio back then. But maybe God would say, all right, I want you to rent an airplane and write it in the sky. Or I want you to, and you could name whatever strategy it might be. I want you to host great big conferences and entertain people and they'll come to me. Wouldn't that be great if God made that the method by which we could see God's gospel preached? But you know what? The method that we see the gospel preached is a one-on-one, confrontational, individual, personal testimony of what God has done in our lives. One-on-one, house to house, spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that could be something we could be ashamed of. A lot of churches are today, by the way. A lot of churches are ashamed that way. You know why I know that? Because they're not doing it. And they'll call themselves Baptist, and they'll call themselves independent, and they'll call themselves fundamental, but yet they're disregarding the one thing that God's called them to do, and that is to be a testimony, to be a witness personally to those around us. And yes, the message is convicting. And yes, the message is confrontational. And yes, it forces us to come to some kind of conclusion and to make a decision. But that's the kind of message that draws men to the gospel and to the truth of God's word. And tonight it'd be easy for us to be ashamed, not only of those who it associates us with, but of the method by which God wants us to spread the gospel. And I tell you tonight, the Apostle Paul was not ashamed. And I also tell you tonight that that is the spirit of a growing Christian. Listen carefully tonight. The spirit of a growing Christian is one who is going to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of who it associates me with. I'm not ashamed of the method by which God has ordained for us to make this known. There's just something about the name of Jesus, isn't there? And I say that in regard to the convicting nature of the message. My wife and I were talking recently how that people could talk about God. And, you know, it's so easy to really bring up the name of God. Really still in our culture, mankind still kind of honored that. But you start bringing up the name of Jesus and then it starts drawing lines, doesn't it? And that's what the Lord said. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on this earth, but a sword. And it's true, because mankind can put God in, put whatever God in that place they want, but they can't put whatever Jesus in what they want, where they want. There's only one Jesus. He only had one message. And if we accept the person of Jesus, we accept what he said, and we accept what he did for us. And that becomes very dividing in our lives. And so we understand then that sometimes that can be something that makes us ashamed. But listen, tonight, the Bible is clear that Jesus said, I will not be ashamed of him who is not ashamed of me. I will proclaim him and testify of him before my Heavenly Father, him that testifies of me before the face of mankind. Tonight, I want to encourage you in this matter that we have a Heavenly Father that is not to be ashamed of. We have a gospel that is not to be ashamed of. Listen tonight. I made a comment earlier, maybe on Wednesday night. Listen, we don't have the greatest, best facilities. We don't have the greatest, you know, equipment around. We don't have the most talented people here. But let me tell you what we do have. We have a gospel that is true and right and powerful. And we have a Savior that's wonderful. And we have a message that can make the difference in the lives of people. That's what we have. Boy, God has chosen us to be a vessel to carry that to this area around us. And the spirit of a growing Christian is, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, I understand what it is to be ashamed, to have the gospel track in our pocket and to remember it, but just say, well, maybe next time I'll get it. Or to have an opportunity to witness to someone at their door, in my place of work, or wherever it might be, and think, oh, there's always tomorrow. What will they think of me? The Apostle Paul, the spirit of a growing Christian is, I am not ashamed. Now, I'm going to give you three reasons as we close here tonight why Paul was not ashamed. Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Number one, I believe because its power is undeniable. Notice the Bible says there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. How can you deny the power of God? Even insurance company recognizes a supernatural work of God, don't they? What do they call it? Act of God. Yeah, thank you. Act of God. As if to say, we have no other explanation for it. That's an act of God. It's outside of our power. Even the world recognizes the power of God. It's undeniable. So Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's undeniable power. It's there. By the way, Can you deny the power of God tonight in anything? Can we say that God's Word hasn't changed our lives? Can we say that God's Spirit doesn't comfort us when we need it? Can we say that God doesn't answer prayer when we pray according to His will? Can we say that God doesn't keep His promises tonight? Someone stand and testify that God's power is deniable, and I can't stand and say that God can do what He says. I challenge anyone to stand and to make God's power denied. We can't deny God's power. Why? Because it's God's power. And it's all powerful. And there's nothing that can undo it. It's this power that Paul was trusting in, and the reason why he wasn't ashamed. Number two, not only was his power undeniable, but his hope was fundamental. Notice the Bible says in verse number 16, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." That is a fundamental hope for all of humankind. Why? We're all heading to the abyss of death, are we not? Every one of us are marching down that path. Now, the difference in those that are saved and those that aren't is because we've been saved to eternal life. It's the fundamental hope of all of humankind. Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because he recognized this is the only hope that mankind has. It's a fundamental hope. I can't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because when I stand before an almighty God in heaven, what excuse am I going to give for why I didn't testify to His gospel power in the life of people? Why? What am I going to say? When my neighbor questions, and when I stand and remember what I could have said or what I could have done, because it's the fundamental hope Paul recognized in our life. Why? All men need it. Something that all men need. Because it's a fundamental hope that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lastly, its appeal is universal. Notice the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation to, say those next two words, everyone. Do you see that? Verse 16, "It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Listen, why was Paul not ashamed? Because you can't take it to the wrong person. Hey, listen, if I went to someone, just Saturday, by the way, we had a wonderful day out visiting Saturday. Praise God for the beautiful weather and the great crowd. We were able to knock on, I think we counted about 450 total doors, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was about right, throughout that whole day. And just a tremendous time. I was able to have great context. By the way, I believe a direct result of the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, praying for the lost, God opened doors that day. And I don't remember times when I've been able to go through the gospel more with somebody at their door than I did on yesterday. And what a tremendous thing. One person in particular, I knocked on the door and she opened it. I said, here's a invitation, and we just want you to know that you have a church that cares about you. And she said, "Oh, I already go to church." "Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad you go to church. That's great. You know, I have another concern. We care about people and their souls. And let me just ask you today, because I'm concerned about your soul, do you know for sure that if something were to happen to you, would you go to heaven, or would you have some doubt about that?" She said, "Oh, I know I'm going to heaven." "Oh, how do you know that for sure?" "My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior." And I said, "Praise the Lord. That's wonderful." And we shook hands and we prayed together. And I said, "That's such a wonderful thing." She said, "Keep up the good work, spreading the gospel." And it was encouraging. You know what? You cannot speak to the wrong person, because if you knock on a door or you talk to someone and they already know the Savior, it's just an encouragement. Praise the Lord. But if they don't know the Savior, by the way, it might be their one and only chance. I don't know. I'm not trying to threaten somebody today. All I know is that God has put me in this place at this time to talk to this person. They may have heard it 4 or 5 times before, and it may be the time they're going to get saved. Maybe they've never heard it before, and I'm just planting the seed. Maybe I'm just the second person to tell them, and I'm just watering a little bit, waiting for some fruit to come. I don't know tonight, but I'm telling you this, that the Apostle Paul recognized that the appeal of the gospel is universal, and therefore he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so tonight I challenge you in this matter. Are you a growing Christian? If you are a growing Christian, this is what our spirit will look like, I believe. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example of this. The spirit of someone who knows what God has given to them. It's the spirit that understands that there's a burden of responsibility. And there is a blessing of readiness. And then as he understands it at the end, then there is a badge of confidence that can be worn because of the fact that the gospel is powerful. Are you a growing Christian tonight? I believe we are. And I believe as we grow in Christ that this Spirit, this same Spirit that we see, I keep calling it the Spirit of the Apostle Paul. It really wasn't. It was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in the Apostle Paul. But it is emphasized in his life until that maturity comes, and at the end of his course, he's able to say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. May we end our course with that same testimony, having the Spirit of a growing Christian that recognizes the responsibility that God's given. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight for your grace. God, it's a privilege for us to be able to carry this precious Word of God to the world around us. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful tonight for the example of the Apostle Paul and the testimony that he's given to us. Thank you for the burden of responsibility that he felt. Thank you for the blessing of readiness, Lord, of being ready to go and do whatever you call. Thank you, Lord, for the badge of courage that he wore.